Good morning, New Life Baptist Church. I hope that each of you are doing well on this Lord's Day morning, and this is for April the 19th, 2020. Today, I'm going to share with you a message that I've entitled Gleanings from the Gladdest Day. Gleanings from the Gladdest Day. And what we're really going to be doing here is taking a glance at the resurrection accounts at the end of each of the Gospels, and I'll just refer to some, and we'll read others, not the entire accounts in full, but parts of them, as I seek to really just give us a couple of gleanings today from this, what I call the gladdest day. And I want to do this because I would like to do it before we leave the resurrection accounts. As we looked at last week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and the impact that that had there in John chapter 20. We will look there again today along with the others. Now, here's the two gleanings that I would like to give you today. Gleanings from the gladdest day. Number one is this. I want us to see how the resurrection gives hope and purpose to the life of every believer. And then number two is I want us to see how the resurrection causes unbelievers to believe the unbelievable. All right, one more time on that one. I want us to see how the resurrection causes unbelievers to believe the unbelievable. So let's go to number one, how the resurrection gives hope and purpose to every believer. Now, I want to ask you a few questions or a question here to begin with about several people. I'm going to read off a list of names, and I want you to think about what they have in common. Catherine Luther, Susanna Wesley, Elizabeth Fry, Corey and Betsy Ten Boom, Elizabeth Elliott, Amy Carmichael, Betty Stamm, Fanny Crosby, Lottie Moon, Gladys Allward, Mary Slessor, Edith Schaefer, and on we could read. What do you think all of these have in common? Now, you might say, well, they're obviously all women, and you would be right. You may also say they are all dead. Again, you would be right again. You might say that these are Christian heroes, all women who gave their lives for the cause of Christ. And if you were to say that, you would be absolutely correct. But what about these others? I'm going to name a few of these, and you may just recognize the description of them in other places. Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Rhoda, Philip's four daughters who prophesied, Priscilla, Phoebe, the Mary in Romans chapter 16, and also the sister of Nereus, who was greeted in Romans chapter 16, Lois and Eunice, the beloved Apphia, and the godly Lydia. What of these women? If you think about these women, the scripture talks a lot about them. And you would be right if you said all of those women are named in Scripture in the New Testament. You would be right. What do all these, along with those prior names, have in common? Here is what they have in common, at least for this sermon, okay? They are all debtors to the women at the grave on Resurrection Sunday morning, because those ladies paved the way for each of these women to have an effective, purposeful life lived for God. Now, let me be clear. I'm not talking of some sort of movement that the ladies there at the tomb led, that it was led by maybe Mary Magdalene. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that they somehow, by their sheer determination and perseverance, paved this way that I'm speaking of. No, they paved the way because of the person they loved dearly and followed closely. They paved the way because of the person whose body they came to anoint on that resurrection Sunday morning. It is Jesus Christ. And it's by His grace and through faith in Him that they were given the blessed privilege of not only being the first to see Jesus alive from the dead, but also being the first human beings to go and tell that He is alive. Should it surprise us that God chose these women? If we remember Jesus' ministry, it probably should not. Just think of the impact that Jesus had on women in His day. Just to name a few, Mary, His mother, who carried him in her womb. And then we think of the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7 who loved much because she had been forgiven much. We think of the widow of Nain in Luke 7 who had her son raised from the dead. And the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. We think of Martha and Mary and often the times that Jesus spent there in their home. And then we think of, as well, the Syrophoenician woman who had her demon-possessed daughter healed because of Jesus' grace and power. And then we think of the Samaritan woman who Jesus went to Samaria to encounter her there at the well. It should not surprise us at all that God gave this great privilege to women on Resurrection Sunday morning. But think about the women who were there that day. If we consider, it may have been up to 9 women who could have been at that tomb that morning. We think about some of the names: Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, Mary the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and the other women. All of these are named in the 4 gospel accounts. These women who were there that day were the last to see the body of Jesus. Luke chapter 23 verse 55 says, "And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid." And then they were also the most prepared to come and anoint the body. Perhaps the only ones who were prepared, because in Luke 23:56, it says that then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. And then by all accounts, by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by all of their accounts, the women were the first ones at the tomb on Resurrection Sunday morning. And they were the first to see Jesus risen from the dead. Matthew, Mark, and John all tell us of this. Matthew, speaking of the women, who, as they were going, they saw Jesus. Mark and John, Mary Magdalene. Perhaps the greatest, they had the greatest propensity for faith. Perhaps it was that great love which they had, that human love which they had for Jesus during his ministry, that caused them to have this propensity for faith. Certainly it is an act of grace of God in their life. So as we think about this, when these women come, and we know that they also had a very difficult time believing. As a matter of fact, they had to be told, if I understand Matthew, Mark, and Luke correctly, they had to be told by angels 3 times that he is not here. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And in all those, after all of those instances, they were told to go and tell. So if we look in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, if you would flip there to Matthew 28, I'll read verses 9 and 10 for us this morning. Matthew 28, verses 9 and 10. I'll give you just a second to get there. Matthew 28, 9 and 10. Here's what it says. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So in Matthew, the women were going. Jesus appeared to them and said, "Rejoice." And then what did they do? They held him by the feet and worshiped him. All right? That's Matthew's account. But now let's turn over to Mark's account. If you look at Mark chapter 16 with me, verses 9 through 11. Mark 16, verses 9 through 11. Here we find in another account of Mary Magdalene being the first to see Jesus. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Here we see Mary Magdalene seeing Jesus first. And then if you turn to John chapter 20, I'll remind you of what we saw last week in John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene had already been to the tomb that morning, and then she left having seen that the tomb was empty, and she went and found Peter and John, and Peter and John came and looked in the tomb, and Peter ran in the tomb, and they saw the conditions of the clothing, the grave clothes. They left. Mary Magdalene stayed there. And as she stayed and looked and wondered where Jesus was and wept because she did not know where that body was, Jesus then came behind her and said to her eventually, "Mary." And as soon as she heard the word, that word, Mary, her name, she turned to him and said, "Rabboni," We see that in chapter 20, verse 16. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And then in verse 17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. You see, she did the same thing that the other women who would have seen Jesus after this account did. They came and worshiped Jesus. The others clung to his feet. Mary here clung to him. And he says, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. It's almost like Jesus is saying there to Mary, Mary, you got to let me go because I'm going to be ascending to my Father and I can't take you with me. You've got to let go. So Jesus here speaks to her in this way and she eventually, of course, lets go. In verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. So we think about what has happened here and how Jesus, because of the resurrection, gives hope and purpose to every believer. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. The interesting thing about Jesus appearing first to the women is in this day in which Jesus lived, the women their testimony would not have even stood in court. But yet it was these women that Jesus chose to appear to first. What an amazing privilege. And as we looked at all those historical characters, from the first group, the Catherine Luthers, the Elizabeth Frys, the Elizabeth Elliots, to then in the New Testament, we went back and we looked at the Marys who were found there, and the Lydias, and the Rhodas. Every one of these had purpose in their life. Why? Because of the resurrection. And it's the same with all of our women here at New Life Baptist Church. You have the greatest purpose in your life, just like all the men, just like every believer has, because of the resurrection. And Jesus chose to appear to women on the first day of the week. It's a beautiful thing and a great privilege that he has given. Number two is this, as far as gleanings from the Gladys Day. Second one is the resurrection causes the unbeliever to believe the unbelievable. Number one, who is the unbeliever? Well, if you look in John chapter 20, it's pretty obvious who the unbeliever is. It's Thomas. If you look down at verse 24, it says, now when Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them, Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. All right. So Thomas had not seen the Lord when he appeared to the other disciples. And he was determined that he would not believe unless he saw the print in his hands and in his side and put his hand there. In Mark chapter 16, verse 11, though, we have to know that Thomas wasn't alone. Because in chapter 16, 11 of Mark, it says, and when they, being the disciples, heard that he was alive and that he had been seen by her, they did not believe. Luke 24, verse 11 says, and their words, that's the words of those who had seen Jesus, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, like the words of the women. It seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe. So Thomas wasn't alone. None of the disciples, it seems, maybe except for save John, believed in what had happened. What does it mean, though, to believe? I'll just very simply tell you this. To believe means to be convinced of or persuaded concerning something. To be convinced of or persuaded about something. Number three, what is unbelievable, or what is unbelievable? In John 24, verse 25, here in Thomas's words, we see him saying, unless I see in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. In other words, he is saying and demanding to see proof that the body of Jesus was alive, and that he would see in his hands and the side this proof. And if he saw that, then he would believe. But if he didn't see it, he would not believe. And Jesus came then and showed him all. If you look at verse 26 of John 20, it says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And then in verse 27, and when he said, then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." So Thomas here suddenly becomes a believer because all of the demands that he had placed upon Jesus and upon his faith being real were met by the Lord Jesus Christ. But who else is the unbeliever? We've seen these unbelievers. The disciples were unbelievers, and Thomas was an unbeliever. And if you think about it, really every man who now trusts in Christ was at once an unbeliever. And yes, the resurrection is still what makes the difference. Because were the resurrection not true, historical, documented fact, there would be no salvation, no justification, no redemption, no hope, no purpose for you or for me. Which is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul ends this wonderful chapter on the resurrection by saying, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" And it's why he also says that if there is no resurrection in this life, and if in this life only we have hope, then we are of all men most pitiable. But the fact is, there is hope beyond this life, and death and Hades have been defeated, and Jesus has the keys to both, and he reigns victorious. So it's because of that that we can have hope. Now, all of us fall into this category of being unbelievers at one point or the other. And I would just like to say, by the way, kind of a note, that it's not two, not three, but four witnesses give evidence of the life, death, burial, and resurrection that are found in scriptures. The life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the Old Testament, there had to be two or three witnesses to establish a matter. But God goes even further than that with four writers who gave an account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, we can say like Paul, if you once were lost in your sins, which we all were, but you've come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, "I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Now, here's what I would like to do. I'd like to give you some points of conclusion. Number one is this. We see in this quick study, in these gleanings, Christian women go and tell the good news. Christian women go and tell the good news. Whether it was Mary Magdalene, or whether it is an Elizabeth Elliot, or whether it is a Lydia, they are all workers in the gospel. Or a Phoebe, they are workers in the gospel, going and telling about the good news of Jesus Christ and living for Christ. And ladies at New Life, thank you for your faithfulness in doing this. And I tell you, there's no better way or no better person to live for than Christ. Your husbands will let you down. Your children will let you down. Your employers will let you down. Your parents will let you down. Your family will let you down, but Christ will not. And there is no greater person to live for. And I tell you, all those others that I just mentioned will benefit the most from you if you live your life dedicated to Jesus Christ. Number two, we see Christian women equal in personhood and worth to men. Although they are the weaker vessel of 1 Peter chapter 3, we see that there is neither male nor female in Christ. However, we also see that Christian women complement, not compete for the roles of men. The women who saw Jesus raised that day did not come and say, "We have an advantage, for we saw Jesus raised first, therefore we will go and you must follow us." They did not say that at all. The women sought no esteemed position in the church because of their blessing, but they certainly made a huge impact as fellow workers in the gospel ministry throughout church history and still today. Number four, in our conclusions, we see Christian women as recipients of the grace of life. Recipients of the grace of life. You see, this is a grace in which we all needed, because we all once were unbelievers, male or female. It matters not. All need salvation through Jesus Christ. The resurrection declares him to be the Son of God. And that word of the gospel brings about faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then lastly, number five in conclusions. The gospel saves even in the day of social distancing. Listen, please. If you've listened to nothing else I've said this morning, please listen to this. The gospel saves even in the day of social distancing, because the word of salvation is near. It's near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You see, we do not preach a word of salvation through works. We do not preach a salvation through being good enough or strong enough or worthy enough. But we preach a salvation through faith. And that, here's how that works in Romans chapter 10. That if you confess with your mouth. I tell you what, please turn there with me. Romans chapter 10. Because we all need to see this. In the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. Here's what Paul wrote in chapter 10, verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It does not matter who you are this morning. If you're not in Christ already, you need to be saved through his grace. You need to be saved through the message of the gospel. And that message of faith in Jesus is in your mouth and in your heart now, because it's been preached to you. And what are you to do with it? You're to do what Romans 10 says. Confess Christ as Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that you shall be saved. And then the scripture goes on to talk about repenting of our sins and obeying what the Lord says. But it's all about faith in Christ. You don't do any of those things to get yourself saved. Those are an outworking of the salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I would like to do. I've written a little poem, and if you would give me the time, I would like to share it with you. And this is the way that we will conclude. I talked to you today about two gleanings from the gladdest day. The first one was how the resurrection gives hope and purpose to the life of every person. And number two is how the resurrection causes the unbeliever to believe the unbelievable. Here's the poem I've written for the gladdest day. The gladdest day is the day Jesus rose from the grave. Risen victorious on that day, once for all lady and man to save. Early Sunday morning the women planned to anoint the body of the Son of Man. Again and again angels proclaimed, vacant is the place where he laid. He is not here, he is risen indeed. Don't take my word, just look and see. Go and tell was the women's mission. No better word would ever be given. Appearing to lady and man, could it truly be the Son of Man? Indeed, he is alive as he said, though terribly for sin he suffered and bled. Ascending on high to take his place at the right hand of the throne of grace, the Spirit came forth to sanctify man according to the promise of the great I Am. As children of God, believers can say, we look forward to a resurrection day when Christ returns to take us home. Then redemption will be done. All because the gladdest day is the day Jesus rose from the grave. Risen victorious on that day, once for all, lady and man, to save. On this Lord's Day, do you know the Savior? Have you believed in him? He rose from the dead. He lives forevermore, and because he lives, he can save you. Lady or man, it matters not. Come to him in faith today. I love you, church. I'm not sending out a message for tonight. I encourage you to go and maybe to our YouTube channel and look at some of the messages that we haven't, that you haven't been able to view yet, as several have been sent out, especially last week. And maybe spend a little time looking at those this evening. I do encourage you to join together and worship tonight as a family. The Lord bless you. I love you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you.